Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, May 20th, episode 54 in this podcast. Today, we get into three topics. Number one, we'll preview the Eastern Conference Finals now that they're set, as the six-seeded Indiana Pacers, after beating the Knicks, will take on the top-seeded Boston Celtics. Next, we'll go to the West, where after a great series, both series, I would say, the Dallas Mavericks will go ahead and take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, which will be game one to be played on Wednesday. Lastly, we'll look at three teams that were knocked out over the weekend. We'll look at Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll look at the New York Knicks. And we will look at the Denver Nuggets. I'll kind of give you my early season, or I should say early off-season guide for those three franchises and what I think they need to do moving forward. Let's get started in today's podcast. We're starting in the Eastern Conference, where game one, scheduled to be played Tuesday night, has the Boston Celtics minus 9.5 points versus the Indiana Pacers with an over-under of 221.5. And if you look at this, you can look at this for the way that both teams have got there. And let's start with Indiana, an Indiana team that took advantage of what they did. They played who was in front of them. They tanked and they got the sixth seed. I wouldn't say they tanked, they ended with the sixth seed. And they got Milwaukee. Who tanked to get that spot? And of course, we saw what they did. Giannis going down, not being able to finish out the series. And obviously, we look at Indiana then going to play the New York Knicks, a New York Knicks team that was ravaged by injuries. And we'll talk about the Knicks later. We know about the injuries, obviously, to OG and Anobi, losing Mitchell Robinson before the series started. And obviously, losing Julius Randle, Bojan Bogdanovic earlier on. Obviously, Jalen Brunson fractures his hand in the third quarter of game number seven yesterday. Josh Hart getting hurt in game six and trying to battle out. But you got to give credit where credit's due. Indiana got themselves through to this part. And it'll be interesting to see now that I feel like they're going to get really challenged by the best team in the NBA on paper, and that's the Boston Celtics. Now, when you look at the Celtics, folks, you can look at they haven't been challenged. They got to play Miami without Jimmy Butler. They got to play Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell the last two games of the series. They got to play Cleveland without Jared Allen the entirety of that series. Shout out to Jared Allen for not showing up for your team. I'll spend a whole nother podcast talk about Cleveland and the joke what they were with these guys not playing hurt. In my opinion, after watching Anunoby basically can't even walk trying to play. Josh Hart shouldn't have played, and he tried to show up and play. Brunson, I don't even want to get myself angry because now I'm going to get angry about the Knicks getting all banged up. But also Caris LeVert not playing in game number five. So it's an interesting dynamic to look at, because how do you evaluate a series in which neither team has played against the top competition of the other team? Very simply put, Boston can play both sides of the ball. And that's going to be a problem for Indiana. A Boston Celtics team that could be the best team defensively. Joe Mazzulla has done a masterful job this year. I think what helped Joe Mazzulla was having his own staff, having Sam Cassell, who should be a head coach, and Charles Lee, who got the job in Charlotte, on his staff to help him have his own identity with Boston. But it's more than that. It's the play of Jason Tatum, who has been fantastic. Now, Jason Tatum will give you those stinkers, but his ability to score, and what I think has been important for him, rebounding the ball with Kristaps Porzingis, has been fantastic. You could talk about Jaylen Brown. You could talk about Derek White. You could talk about Drew Holiday. Folks, they beat you any different way they want. And I think that what makes Boston so intriguing is they could beat you with Drew Holiday, right, who can get you 20 if he had to, but doesn't. They could beat you with Jaylen Brown, who can give you 25 to 30 any night, but he doesn't have to do that every night, right? They could beat you with Derek White, who's been the best player offensively at times for the Celtics. When he comes back, they could beat you with Kristaps Porzingis as a stretch five. But they could also beat you with their depth. And I think that's what's important that I like about this Boston team is they remind me of Golden State. Let me just make sure you understand what I'm saying here. In regards to the fact that this team can go to their bench and they may not gain leads, but they don't lose leads. So when you look at bringing Hauser off the bench, bringing Peyton Pritchard off the bench, even Luke Kornet giving them minutes, like they can go to their bench and it doesn't kill them. And I think that is what makes them dangerous because those stars can leave the game. They can kind of just stay afloat and then they can take themselves off. And I think that's what's going to be the difference. Indiana can't, I know TJ McConnell had a great series. I know Obi Toppin played well at times. I know Ben Shepherd hit some shots. This is going to be a whole different animal. And the bigger problem with Indiana is Indiana's not going to be able to get stops. They're going to try and do what they do. And Boston will play the game at their pace. They will run them out of the gym. But I will say this. Game one, I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana covered the spread of 9.5. I'll give you one better. I wouldn't be floored if Indiana stole game one because they'll just ride the momentum of the Knicks series, right? They'll do what they do, and maybe Boston will give you a stinker. They will give you one bad one. I don't think Indiana gets swept, but I'll be stunned if they win more than one game. Boston wins this in five games or less. Let's move on to the Western Conference Finals and a really intriguing matchup between two superstars. And that's Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards. Luka Doncic, who did not shoot the ball well from three earlier on in the postseason, really started to get himself going the last couple of games, versus Anthony Edwards. And boy, he is here. He is here. And this sets up such a fascinating matchup because you have, to me, three of the best one-on-one guards in the league. Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards. All three of them can go get a bucket, whatever they want. But to me, it's going to be about everyone else. It's going to be about Karl Anthony Towns, who had a great Game 7. It's about Rudy Gobert. Can he dominate the boards? Now he has to face someone like a Nikola Jokic. Right? It's going to be Jalen McDaniels, who could be arguably the MVP. Anthony Edwards said he could be the MVP of this team during the playoffs. It's a gritty, tough play of Mike Conley. By the way, that's going to be an intriguing matchup, is who does Coach Finch have Mike guard? Does he guard Luka? Does he guard Kyrie? I think that is interesting because you then may see McDaniels go to the other. I would sense because of height, I think McDaniels goes to Luka, Conley goes to Kyrie. That is what I would do if I was Coach Finch. But for Dallas, it's been P.J. Washington, who did not play well in Game 6, but hit two big threes in the fourth quarter and got fouled and hit all three free throws at the end of the game. Actually, two out of three, missed the second on the third on purpose, as Dallas beat OKC in 6. It's going to be the play of Derek Lively, who has really come onto his own. Him and Daniel Gafford, can they keep Rudy Gobert off the boards? It's a fascinating matchup for two teams. Dallas has not been to the finals in a long time, and Minnesota has never been to the finals. It's going to be a great matchup. Game number one, -4.5 with Minnesota. I actually do like Dallas in game number one plus the points. I think you could get a little bit of a hangover from Minnesota from getting by Denver. But I will say this, going into this postseason, especially round two, I said the winner between Minnesota and Denver was going to win the NBA championship. I'm not stopping now. Timberwolves go to the finals in a thrilling 7-game series. Let's move on to teams that were knocked out of the playoffs over the weekend. And let's start with what I think is the most intriguing team in the NBA moving forward, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder, with a top five player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. a budding superstar. I said superstar, and Chet Holmgren, one of the best defenders in the league, and Lou Dort. Williams and Williams, the law firm. Casey Wallace off the bench. Aaron Wiggins off the bench of shooters. Isaiah Joe stepped in and hit some big shots for them. But here is the big thing, folks, with Oklahoma City. They got to trade Josh Giddey. Why? Josh Giddey's due for an extension. And Mark Dagenal could not play him in this series. Jason Kidd basically dared Dagenal, dared him to play Josh Giddey because of his offensive liabilities. It's amazing how Josh Giddey, as great as people thought he was when he came into the league, starting to look like another Australian player. That's Ben Simmons, a guy that struggles offensively to score. So what do you do if you're Sam Presti? Folks, I'm not going to read all the draft picks that they have between now and 2024. All I'll say to you is this. They got 24 of them. They have 24 picks between now and 2030, right? Including a first-round swap and then three other first-round picks. They have four first-round picks in the 2025 draft, which is going to be a markedly better draft than the draft this year. They have so many picks that I don't even want to read them off to you. Just if you're watching, just look at the screen of all the picks they got. At some point, Sam Presti's got to go get the final piece. That time is now. They have the young core. They have a great coach. I'm going to say this. I want two things out of Oklahoma City this offseason. I want a better two guard that can create his own shot to go play with SGA. And I want a bruising big man to protect Chet Holmgren. When you think about guards, does Paul George want to go back to Oklahoma City? Do you try and trade for someone like a Donovan Mitchell, who I think can make sense in Oklahoma City because SGA is a bigger guard? When you look at the center position, I would be looking at, and I know this is not a sexy name, I'll be looking at Jonas Valanciunas, who I think could be had by New Orleans. You can get him. I would be looking at a Jonas Valanciunas or a Jared Allen. Great job, Matt, my producer, said it in my ear. They need to get a shot-blocking, rim-protecting big that can take the muscle and not have Chet have to guard that, but they also need to go get a guard that can get a bucket. I mean, if they can find a way to trade for Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen in the same trade, Lord of mercy, put the kids, women, kids to bed. It's over. You can trade some of these young kids. You can trade Josh Giddey, and you can trade a whole ton of draft picks because, to me, a team like Cleveland is going to have to completely reset their entire roster. So Oklahoma City becomes a really intriguing team, folks. They could be the team of the future if they can get this right. They're right there. They're ahead of schedule. They got the star. They got the four. They got the coach. They got the depth. But most importantly, they got the picks, especially with the 2025 draft, which would be much better than a 24 draft. Let's head east, or I would say northeast, to my hometown team, the New York Knicks. A Knicks team that has captivated New York City with their grit, with their toughness, with their taking on the life of their coach and of their city. But a Knicks team that was a damn mass unit by the end of the playoffs. A Knicks team that went into the playoffs without Julius Randle. A Knicks team that turned around and lost in the first round, Bojan Bogdanovic, who got Mitchell Robinson hurt on that cheap play by Embiid and ended up missing the second round series. A Knicks team that turned around and was up one game to zero. OG Anunoby had 28 points in the third quarter, chasing a fast break outlet pass, pulls his hamstring. Change all season. I'll tell you this right now. You can say whatever you want. If OG doesn't pull his hamstring, the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because if you look at what happened, Siakam got loose when OG got hurt. Go look at the tape. Go look at the stats and tell me I'm wrong. Because I'll tell you right now, I'll admit what I am. I'm not wrong about this one. OG's healthy, Knicks are in the finals. Eastern Conference Finals, I should say. And then Jalen Brunson fractures his hand. And Jalen Brunson, who has become an icon in New York, a guy that people said was a terrible free agent signing, a guy that is undersized, not overly quick, doesn't have the best shot, but knows how to play the game cerebrally. A guy that could change speeds, great footwork, great finisher. Guys, this kid's 6'1", and he was top five in the NBA or top 10 in the NBA and points scored in the paint. Think about that for a second. I think he was top five. And most points per game scored in the paint at 6'1". Can't jump. Then you look at a guy like Josh Hart, who is the best number three that New York's have had since John Starks. They had Stevie Francis. They had Stephon Marbury. They've had others. But Josh Hart is all Hart. If you look at Isaiah Hartenstein, what he brought to the team. But when you look at this roster with Brunson, OG Anunoby's got to be re-signed. Josh Hart has already signed his extension. Same thing with DiVincenzo. Precious Achiuwa gave them minutes off the bench. Bogdanovich, we'll be interested to see what happens. Alec Burks played terribly when he came back to the Knicks, and that was also because he played bad, and Deuce McBride played great after the trade of Barrett and Quickly, and that's why Burks' minutes went down, but he gave the Knicks big minutes after the injuries. Hartenstein and Mitch Robinson. Here are the key things. Number one, you have to sign OG Anunoby. It's probably going to cost you about $40 million. Number two, watch Isaiah Hartenstein closely. Signed a two-year, $16 million deal. He's going to be a free agent. Because it was an exception, the Knicks could only, I think, pay him 175% of what he made this past year. So that would put him at, I think, 12 or 13. No, that'd be probably about $14.5 million. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. But they're going to be teams, maybe Oklahoma City. Maybe that's the big they want to get. They could probably give him $20 million. Watch Isaiah Hartenstein. I think he leaves the Knicks, but it's pivotal that he needs to come back. Mitchell Robinson needs to get healthy. But two guys to watch out for, Bogdanovich and Randall. Because they're going to be the last year of the deal, Randall owns a 25-26 player option. I think the Knicks are going to move Julius Randall. It's going to be hard because he was the guy that came to New York first. But the one thing New York cannot do and sit there and bring this whole team back and think they're better than Boston. Because they're not. And I'm a Knicks fan. They could do this a couple of different ways. And if you look at the Knicks, they are armed with draft picks. Right? They have two draft picks in this year's draft. Then they have opportunities for first-round picks next year that could be turned to 2026, depending on what happens. Based on the record, with specifically Washington and Detroit. But here is the big thing. They have the star. People may not like him. They have the coach. They have the grit and toughness. The Knicks need to go get someone that can create his own shot along with Brunson. And there's a way you could do this. It all depends on what you want to do with Randall. And with OG, you can play OG at the three or OG at the four. Wherever you put him, you go get the other spot. I think they put OG at the four. They go get a scoring three or go with a three-guard lineup of Brunson, DiVincenzo, and a third guy. And then you go ahead, You hope you resign Hartenstein. Mitchell Robinson can come off the bench, or you can trade him. Julius Randle goes. See what you can do with Bogdanovich. Juice gets more minutes. You got to develop some more of a bench. Couple of people to look out for. Leon Rose loves Devin Booker. He was a CAA guy. I don't think Phoenix trades Devin Booker. If they do, they are absolutely nuts. Crazy if they trade him. Paul George becomes interesting. So I think PG could fit right into New York. And I'm going to throw one out there just off the top of my head. Brandon Ingram. They're going to trade him. And I think he could be intriguing as someone that can get his own shot. He doesn't have to be the number one option. He could fit in, but I don't know if he fits into that culture that the Knicks have, that toughness that New York has. I don't know if he fits it. And I'm going to give two other guys. Mikal Bridges, why? He wants to play with the Knicks. His best friends are Hart, DiVincenzo, and Brunson. He wants to be a Knick. I don't know if Joe Tsai and Sean Marks make the trade, but Brooklyn needs assets. They need pieces. They need picks. And the Knicks could offer that to them. And the crazy one that just came into my mind, and I think he's going to get moved by Houston, watch for Jalen Green. He can absolutely score. Absolutely score. Now, I don't know if you can go to a three-guard lineup of Brunson, Green, and DiVincenzo. Maybe DiVincenzo goes to the bench. Josh Hart goes to the starting lineup because of a little bit more height with OG. But the Knicks are going to make a move. It would be stupid if they ran this whole team back. They are one piece away, one score away for being a legitimate championship contender. I will tell you this, Knicks fans, this may be the end of the season, but this is just the beginning of the best era of New York Knicks basketball since the 90s. Let's end with I can't call them defending champions because they're not defending anymore. And that's the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets team is up by 20 points in the second quarter versus Minnesota and lost it. They have arguably the best player in the world, MVP 3 in the last 4 years, in Nikola Jokic, who has been sensational. And I just love Nikola Jokic because big boy makes dad bods look cool. I saw this funny tweet someone sent me, my best friend Don McDermott. Shout out to Donnie. And it was, actually I sent it to Donnie. It was the Joker like partying and all these other guys training. He is phenomenal. And as a coach and as a trainer, I marvel at his skill work. Jamal Murray is a legitimate great player in the postseason, but he had some moments where it was kind of rough. Aaron Gordon, good defender, doesn't do enough offensively at times. Michael Porter Jr., great shooter, needs a lot more in his bag. A lot more in his bag. KCP, perfect in his role. Christian Brown got better. Peyton Watson gave him minutes. Reggie Jackson, you know I love Reggie. They don't have draft picks. They got to find a way to bring Bruce Brown back. They miss Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. They miss Bruce Brown's toughness, his big shot ability, even though he wasn't a shooter, and a no BS approach. And they miss Jeff Green as a forward for his leadership, as a backup. So what am I saying? Starting lineup is set. Michael Porter Jr. has got to get something off the bounce, not just be a catch-and-shoot shooter. Aaron Gordon can't disappear in big moments like he did in Game 7. But they need depth. They got the star. They got the co-star. And they got one of the best coaches in the game in Michael Malone, even though I thought he was a complete you-know-what during his press conference yesterday. I get it, Mike. I'm a coach. I'm upset. I would be upset, too, if my team blew a 20-point lead in the second quarter. Don't take it out on the media. Take it out on your team. This has been the Betting Above the Rim podcast for May 20th. For all things sports gambling, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be Thursday. We'll get into the WNBA a little bit. I'll kind of reset college basketball now that the transfer market has kind of settled down and we know where everyone is going. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the NBA draft, and I'll tell you why the kid Richie would be my number one pick for the Atlanta Hawks if they keep the pick. For my producer, Matt George, thank you so much for listening. Vinny for doing the graphics. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.